The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Although there might not be a lot of seats inside, there is room inside to stand if you'd like to come inside the church. Maybe if everybody could scooch a little more. Scooch. It's so great to see so many people today. In fact, all of our masses throughout this Christmas season have been so beautifully attended, and every one of them has been so joyful. Really, it's been a blessing I hope it's been a blessing for everybody, not just for me. When I was in high school, one of the favorite things that I did was at night after everybody would go to bed, and we lived on a farm in Kansas, I guess I should say, I would go out in the front yard and I would lay down in the grass and I would just look up at the sky. Because you see, there were no lights around. It's like we live here too close to Central Park Shopping Center. You can't see the stars here. But go to a place where there aren't lights and you can, it's amazing what you can see. And as your eyes adjust, you see more and you see more. And I swear that the Milky Way goes right over the center of Kansas. And it was such a bright stripe of stars that would go across the sky. And you would get lost in that infinity. I had the same experience just this past Friday night. I was visiting with some friends. And after we were done, I went outside, and it was an area that had a lot of trees, not like Kansas, but the stars were so bright in the sky. I guess the moon had not yet come up. The stars were so bright in the sky, and you saw them all through the bare branches of the trees, and it seemed like someone had decorated the trees, all the trees with lights, all the way to the tops of the trees. It was a magical, beautiful experience. If you figured it out, we like stars here at St. Mary. Stars are fascinating. And it is interesting that God chose this part of his creation to use to announce the coming of his son among us. He announced it by a star. I suppose we could be kind of provincial in our approach to this. We could be parochial, and we could say that maybe he did that just for us. Or do you think maybe he chose a star because he was announcing this event to the whole universe? A star is a pretty big, big method of communication. So I thought I would look up a little bit some facts about stars. The nearest star, of course, is the sun. And it takes, for the sunlight that we experience here on Earth, it takes 8 minutes and 20 seconds for those photons to get from the sun to the Earth. 8 minutes and 20 seconds. The farthest known galaxy from us, it takes 13.3 billion years for us to see that light. In fact, for many of those stars, by the time we see the light, they are already no longer there, because we're seeing the effects of what was going on 13.3 billion years ago. So when you look up at the stars and you behold the glory of God, you recognize that these are things that represent millions of years of God's life, God's creation. And so it is that at this particular moment, when he wishes to manifest the birth of his son to the world, that he was able to bring together a star that perhaps had been making that light millions of years before to somehow coincide with that event of Bethlehem and the three magi as they came looking for the new king. Now, there's another theory I learned that says that perhaps this event was a conjunction of planets that happened quite a bit around the time of the birth of Jesus. The planets Jupiter was the planet at that time known as they didn't call them planets, they called them traveling stars, because they didn't follow the rules of all the other stars in the firmament. Jupiter was known as the traveling star of the king. Venus, Saturn was known as the traveling star, the protector of the Jews. So perhaps it was that these magi, I think we sometimes think of them like with that word magician or something like that, but they were astrologers. Astrologers and astronomers were kind of the same thing in those days. They were people who studied the known world. They looked for the mysteries that were there. Anyway, they somehow recognized perhaps that this event was the one where these traveling stars would come together, and that it had a significant meaning. Somebody told me that this is going to happen again next year, perhaps, or the year after. The only time since the birth of Jesus that these planets have come back together. And then again, it won't happen for 6,000 years after that. So even if it was a matter of planets, I don't believe anything is a coincidence. And I think that God worked with these planets in such a way so as that they would coincide with this birth of Jesus to make known the coming of Jesus, his son. At any rate, the star itself is a light that reveals. Think about what happens when you flip a switch in a room. There can't be any darkness, can there? So the light that comes from the star is already a beautiful symbol. The first reading today from the prophet Isaiah: "Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick clouds cover the peoples, but upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance." So there is a transference of that light, which is shown in Christ, that comes to us. You could think of that light and the ancientness of that light, the source, as a kind of a wisdom of ages. Suddenly a poor cave is no longer a poor cave. It's transformed from our perspective into one of the richest palaces on earth, the place where the light has come to dwell in us. It's something we are compelled to go see. The Virgin Mother holds the Prince of Peace, and she, by the light of this star, is transformed. We see her as the royal throne that God chooses to establish his house, his line, in her innocence and purity. Even in the midst of the relative darkness of the time, the plotting of Herod that we hear about in the gospel today, it's almost as though the world is about to take a breath, and there is that moment of anticipation and silence as we draw air into our lungs. The moment, perhaps, that you plan what you are about to say. It is true Jesus had no biological descendants, but this light reveals to us a spiritual family that's greater than any dynasty in the history of the world. It seems as though the Magi know this, that God is calling them through his creation a natural kind of knowledge that is symbolized by the star that is teaching them. And so they come to the king to honor a king with gold, to worship God with incense, frankincense. The people of that time would know that that incense has a very specific purpose in the life of the Jewish people. If you remember when Moses went into the tent and beheld the face of God, they said Moses was the only one who could see the face of God and live. In fact, other people died in trying. So they used incense to form a cloud between them and that face of God because he was too beautiful to behold. So incense to worship God. And then the gift of myrrh, which is used to prepare a dead man for burial. King, God, and man. And today we are called also to worship him with our gifts, above all, ourselves. At this particular moment, we come to this house and we're confronted by infinite love. Infinite love that's more powerful and more profound than infinite stars in the sky. The infinite love of an infant boy. Looking at an infant, what can be more lovable and what can be more loving, purely loving, than a child? This star was planned to announce the birth of perfect love that had been already planned and in existence for millions and millions of years, and will continue for millions more. This star today, this light of Christ that comes to dwell in us and in our world and in all the universe of universes which God has made. We celebrate this powerful, powerful mystery that all of this is done so that we might know God, and in knowing God, know the infinity of his love.